Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The big news today is that the Deshaun Watson suspension has been handed down. And just to lay out the particulars of this, the former judge, Sue Robinson, handed down a 6-game suspension to Deshaun Watson. Some of the clauses in the suspension are kind of interesting. He has to arrange all his massages through the team and I guess have them done at the team facility, which is probably a smart thing to do. Obviously, if he runs afoul of the law, that would reopen things. But the big thing is 6-game suspension, which it sounds like a lot of people see as certainly a lot less than what the league wanted in this case. The league wanted a full season. So I guess along those lines, John, my first question is, do you think the league is going to appeal this?
Well, they should, because the NFL is getting ripped all over the country by men and women. 6 games, same as DeAndre Hopkins, who had a substance abuse violation. The same as Alvin Kamara, got in a fight with a guy at the Pro Bowl. And so it's preposterous to me when you think about Watson is unprecedented in the history of sports at any level, and he gets less than Miles. I think, what did Miles Garrett do for swinging his helmet trying to hit, was it Mason Rudolph?
I don't recall.
And so it's just ridiculous. And I'm guessing Roger Goodell, if the league appeals, it's weird. The league has to decide when to appeal. They have 3 days. Yeah. And then they go to Goodell or someone he designates. So if he makes it, say, 8 games, why the hell did they go through Robinson? Why didn't he just say 8 games? Other than it's in a collective bargaining agreement. And if the union and Watson don't like what Goodell does, if indeed he lengthens it, they'll go to federal court. Well, the problem with that is Tom Brady found out on Deflategate, federal court judges don't want to mess with stuff like this. They got real life to mess with. And they'll say, refer back to the collective bargaining agreement. So, well, you guys collective bargained this circumstance, and so you got to abide by it. So I thought, sure, it would be at least 10 originally I thought it would be a season. Then there was leaks about it was going to be indefinite. But you know, Sean, Watson and his people are breathing a huge sigh of relief, because I guess you could call this a happy ending.
Yeah. There you go. Something that Rusty Harden knows. He explained very well on Payne and Pendergast one day. Not illegal. It's not a crime, John. It's not a crime to request one. You know, John, it's funny. I don't know if you read the Sue Robinson's explanation yet on how she arrived at the suspension. It's a really interesting read, because it's about 15 pages. It's a pretty quick read as legal documents go. But she lays out, the NFL is basically saying there's 3 prongs of the personal conduct policy that Deshaun Watson violated: sexual assault, endangering somebody else, and basically sullying the integrity of the league. And Sue Robinson laid out each of those things. And at the end of each of those, she said the NFL has proven their case in this, this, and this, that Deshaun Watson did all of these things. And at that point is when she issues the punishment. And if you read the document up to that point, the way it reads, you sit there and go, well, she is about to just waylay Deshaun with a huge suspension here. There's nothing in those first 11 pages that reads well for Deshaun Watson. But her rationale basically was that the NFL's precedent for punishment for this sort of thing, she calls it nonviolent as opposed to violent sexual assault, that basically she basically accuses the NFL of making up the rules as they go and wanting to issue a full season suspension. So I do wonder how, if they're going to appeal, and if they do appeal the NFL to Goodell, what's going to happen here? Because it's almost like Sue Robinson in this document, it almost reads like she's begging the NFL to appeal, but she has to look at it through a legal lens, and her legal lens has to bring into account precedent and, you know, there's a lot of legalese that she uses in explaining it. But the bottom line was the deficiency seemed to be in the menu of punishment for the NFL, not their ability to prove that Deshaun did things. They proved that to her, at least acceptable enough to where she believed all three of those things.
I think that he got off lightly. Mm-hmm. And I think she did a lot of women a disservice with her decision of 6 games, because sexual violence, it almost seems like she's underplaying what the women accused him of doing. And she read, I'm sure she read the transcripts of the lawsuits. I thought it was just regrettable that she made the ruling she did.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. The NFL, as you point out, John, has 3 days to appeal this. And then if they do, it'll be 2 days after that that Goodell issues a decision. So this has the potential to still be in our lives here for at least another week or so. I guess just looking at, John, how it affects both of these teams, I don't know how closely, well, I'm guessing you've looked at it very closely, but what the Cleveland Browns schedule is for those first 6 games, they got off lightly. Deshaun got off lightly with the punishment, and the Browns are getting off lightly based on what the schedule maker did for them. Their first 4 games are against Carolina, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Falcons. Those are 4 of the bottom 10 teams in the NFL in the Super Bowl odds heading into the season. The other 2 games Deshaun would miss would both be home games against the Chargers and the Patriots, who are significantly better than those first 4 teams, but neither of them are Super Bowl favorites. The Chargers didn't make the playoffs last year, and the Patriots got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. 4 of the 6 games are at home. 4 of the 6 games are against bad football teams. Only one of the games is in the division, and it's against the Steelers, who are viewed as the 4th best team in that division. I mean, not only did Deshaun get off lightly personally, the Browns got off lightly as a team, in my opinion.
Jacoby Brissett ought to be able to go 3-3. You know, the Browns are loaded, Sean. They got talent on both sides of the ball. They got a great pass rush, great secondary, good linebackers, good offensive line, great running game, good enough receivers. And I'll be interested, as everyone will, when he comes back, how much time it takes him to be, say, the Deshaun Watson we knew here, as opposed to the quarterback who's missed a season and 6 games. And it might end up being 8 games or more. We don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad he's going to be available for the game against the Texans at NRG Stadium.
Yeah, it would appear. Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, I think a lot of Texan fans were rooting for a full season suspension because of the first round pick that the Texans have in 2023, but that you're right. For a home schedule, it doesn't have a ton of juice to it, and it's not a very good football team. So the juice factor on the games is going to diminish as the season goes on. To have that game in early December with Deshaun coming back to NRG, certainly good for season ticket holders that, you know, are looking to actually recoup some of their costs. You know, at least there's one ticket in December there that might end up being a hot ticket here. So there is that. You know, we had Nick Caserio on this morning, John, on Monday morning on Payne and Pendergast. And he sat down in that chair with us just as this news got announced, the 6-game suspension to Deshaun. And of course we asked him about it. We didn't ask him, what do you think of the 6 games? You know, that's not his place to really comment on that. But I asked him basically, is this something that you've been keeping tabs on? Because it affects you guys, you know, it affects your first round picks. And he said, no, you know, we pretty much moved on the day that we traded Deshaun Watson, and we'll worry about the draft when the draft rolls around. Do you believe, Nick, that they
absolutely not? I don't believe most of what comes out of Nick's mouth. It's that Patriot way. Of course they're watching it. I talk to people over there keeping a close eye on it because it does affect the next draft and the draft after that. So, no, I didn't believe that.
Yeah. All right. So that puts a bow on Deshaun Watson. And certainly as we roll on here on the Utopia Football Podcast, we're going to be doing a couple episodes a week. So who knows, by the time we do the episode that drops later this week, maybe an appeal's been filed at that point.